lies before me. Let me be singing when the evening comes. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul, worship.
Love you, brother.
Just worship his name. Never before. Oh, my soul, I will worship his holy name. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Oh, my soul, worship. We worship your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Never before. Oh, my soul, I will worship your holy name. Yes, I will worship your holy name. Jesus, we worship your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. From your soul now. Oh my soul, I worship your holy name. It seems like never before. Oh my soul, I will worship your holy name. Jesus, we all worship your holy name. Just hear us now, because we worship your holy name. Oh, with your heart now, worship his holy name. And Lord, as we gather around your word, as it is the hearth of the warmth of the Holy Spirit, may you just warm our hearts to your presence, Lord. May we realize that you are the God Almighty standing in the midst of your children. May we realize this morning that Papa God has come down, standing with his family. Oh, Lord, may we realize that it's you standing among us. You, Lord, who once was in the form of a pillar of fire or of a cloud. Lord, you who once was in the form of Shekinah glory, once was in the form of the man, Christ Jesus, your only begotten Son. Lord, once that was your form. Now you have a new form. Your new form is the bride of Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, help us to realize what a blessing it is to know that you are God the Father above the people, God the Son in with the people, and now God as the Holy Spirit in your people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us realize, Lord, the same God of the Old Testament, same God 2,000 years ago in Jesus. You're the same God, and you're standing here with skin veils on, standing here, Lord, speaking the word and hearing the word and responding to the word, because the word can only respond to the word. Hallelujah. And the word is only sent to the word. Hallelujah. Because you are the word made flesh. And Lord, we just want to thank you this day for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You love him with all your heart? Amen. Hallelujah. Have your Bibles with you. We will just begin with 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And by the way, I'm sure it was said, but happy Father's Day to all you papas out there. Happy Father's Day. It's always wonderful. We always appreciate our mothers, and we give them a little bit of thankfulness, you know, first. We want to give, let the ladies go first, and then let the brothers have a chance, right? Amen. So happy Father's Day to all of you. And we want to wish our Almighty God happy Father's Day as well. Amen. Doesn't he deserve it the most? Now, beginning at the 14th verse, we're going to read several verses down. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 14th verse. Paul is writing this letter to the believers of the church that he founded. And he says, I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. I wonder if our prophet could say the same thing today. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I urge you, imitate me, like a father would tell his kids. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some are puffed up, as though I were not coming to you, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord wills, and I will know, not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. In other words, he's saying, I'm coming and I'm going to determine. You're so puffed up, think you know everything, then I'm going to put you on the spot. We're coming here today. This is the age. This is the time in this age we're coming to. It's not going to matter anymore what somebody says, what somebody believes, what somebody has issues. It doesn't matter all the words coming out of somebody's mouth, because the test is coming. You either got the goods or you just don't. This is all it's coming down to. This is what matters. I will know, not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What do you want? I like that, don't you? Your choice. You know, just like you talk to your children. Do you want a spanking? Or do you want to do it the right way and get a reward? Do you want a spanking or you want a reward? Which one do you want? Paul is saying this. What do you want? Your choice. This is good parenting, by the way. Some of you parents can start taking notes here, right? This is good. Give them some options when they get a little older. They think they can be a little puffed up or a little proud, a little smarter than mom and dad. Shall I come to you with a rod? Same thing as with a belt. Or in love and a spirit of gentleness. May God bless his word. You may be seated. Appreciate all of you standing for that. Paul speaks like a father. I want to give it a title this morning. Where are the fathers? Where are the fathers? Where are the preachers who are trying to beget children, who are travailing in birth until Christ be formed? Where are the fathers? Where are the preachers who care enough for the people that they don't just say and preach a nice, you know, pretty little message just to collect a tithe and go on, you know, and make that part of the whole system? Where's the fathers that don't care if they don't get paid? They don't care if they get nothing back. What they want to see is their children imitating Christ, even as they are imitating Christ. Can you say amen? Where are the daddies? Where are the real fathers in this message, in Christianity today? They really care for their kids. All of us are put on the spot. I'm being put on the spot. You're being put on the spot. Where are the real daddies, the real papas, the real daddies and fathers? They really care about their kids, and they'll do anything for their kids. But they're not going to let them get away with everything. They're going to have a conversation. They're going to give an option. They're going to talk. They're going to speak to their kids like a father. Instructions is okay. There's time for instructions. But there's times for application. See, teachers give instructions. And they don't care if you apply it or not. There's too many of that, those going around this message, this end time truth, Christianity, all around the world. There's too many instructors that collect a paycheck. But where's the fathers that their only real pay is that the child grows up in the admonition of God and loves Almighty God with all their heart? That's not easy to do. That's hard. And some of you struggle with that. I struggle with that. You have struggled with that. Some of you, you know, you didn't know. Sometimes you don't know which way it's going to go. Sometimes it looks like it goes south. It goes in the wrong direction. But what I like to see is, where's your heart in all that? As a parent, as a father, are you just getting cold and you don't care? I'm always so amazed at fathers today that I have friends who say, yeah, my kid turned 18, I told him to get out of the house. But it's because they're worn out. They gave up. Where's the heart in that? It just seems a little heartless to me. There's times when something like that has to happen. The son especially needs to move on and get on and get on with his life. But he ought to be ready to do it, right? But he doesn't need to be 45 and ready. I think there is a limit. But it just depends, you know. As a father, as a mother, but I'm speaking to fathers today, you can't help how your heart feels, even if your son is 45. You're still going to be daddy. You can't help it. But the thing is, today, I want to make this really clear. Paul was a messenger to his age. Do you believe that?
Yes,
he was a father.
Yes, was.
And messengers of every age are fathers. They're the fathers. They're the ones that, they're not just simply, you know, trying to preach a doctrine or a dogma or something you can just learn. They're trying to teach something you can apply, that you can put into your life and live. And some people get annoyed with some of the messengers because they really, like, why did Paul waste all of, what is it, chapter 11, 1 Corinthians, maybe 2nd, where he spends the whole time talking about women's hair and men's hair? What a waste. Why does Moses waste time talking about clothing? Doesn't it seem like a waste? I mean, it's so nitpicky. Because they're daddies. They care about how their kids are dressed. And it hurts their heart when they don't listen. Is that right? When they don't listen. Paul said that he travails. He was travailing for his kids. Because the only thing he wanted, he didn't want Paul. He wasn't looking for Paul to be formed in them. He wanted Christ to be formed in them. Do you believe that? He wanted Christ to be formed in them. The Bible tells us that Christ has only had three forms. One, he was in the form of God when he preexisted. Two, he was in the form of a man when he came to earth. Three, he's in the form of you. If there's enough of a father around who can travail over his children until Christ can be formed in you. Hallelujah! Don't you love that? That's what we're looking for. Now, Paul is giving them an option. He's saying, look, the Lord willing, I am coming to you, and when I do, I'm going to prove something. Either you're just sitting there all puffed up, speaking negatively. You know, he's not coming. He said he was. He's not going to do it. He made promises. He's not going to keep his promises. You know, all those things that they may be saying about how he's a false prophet. He's not telling the truth. You know, it's not happening the way he said. And Paul says, look, I'm going to show up. And when I do, I'm going to prove whether you're puffed up or humble. And either way, if you're puffed up, you're getting a rod. Because the rod will take that out of you. There's two ways to become humble. Humble yourself or be humbled. But if God loves you, you're going to be humbled. Now, if God loves you, he'll humble you. Now, if you love God, you'll humble yourself. Isn't that amazing? And so what what he's telling them is, listen, I'm giving you an option. I can come with a rod. In other words, he's saying, I can come with it. You know what he's doing? He's spelling out an indictment. He's going to deal with these people because some of them are really probably not his children. They're just plants. The devil's just planted these so-called children around the Apostle Paul. You understand what I'm saying? So, and for that reason, the rod will serve as more than just a way to correct, you know, to just bring correction. Because correction, obviously you want to bring correction to somebody who can be corrected. Who can be corrected and, you know, reformed, transformed, and brought back to what they should be, a child of God. But in some cases, there's people who will never be corrected. You couldn't correct Cain if you wanted to. His mother couldn't do it. His father couldn't do it. Almighty God couldn't. His brother tried to help him. He died for that, and Almighty God steps in. So he had four opportunities of correction, and I would say probably five because his own conscience, I'm sure, had to be saying something. I think every human being is born with a conscience. Whether it's seared over or what, I don't know. But man, he just couldn't even do it. All he could do is respond puffed up to God. What am I, my brother's keeper? Now he deserved to die. And he should have died, but see, and the law of God requires that he dies. If a man takes another man's blood, his life will be taken. Well, it says taken by another man. Adam wasn't going to do it. God didn't use Adam to do it. God didn't do it himself because he's allowing Cain to go on. Because God has a plan, see? God's got a plan. I mean, if he got rid of Cain, then we wouldn't have a Judas. If we didn't have a Judas, Jesus wouldn't die. If Jesus doesn't die, we're all lost. It's called a necessary evil. Don't get mad at the devil for plaguing you, tempting you, testing you, fighting you, lying to you. Don't get mad at him for that. You don't need to get mad at him for that. That's his job. Just pay him for it. Well, we talked about that last time, right? He's working triple overtime, so pay him. Make sure it's a big fat check, too. Hallelujah. The rod is an indictment. When John saw a vision of God seated on a throne in heaven, he noticed in his right hand a scroll that was sealed with seven seals. The scroll was sealed with seven seals, and forever we learn in the Old Testament, especially through Moses and all the way through the Bible, we learn that God has a book. God is writing names. God is writing down the names of the redeemed. Can you say amen? And for in our mind, we're thinking, this is amazing. The book, it's going to be amazing. He's writing down, or he has, at least, we don't know that sounds like he's writing it down as he goes along, but it also sounds like in other places, it's almost like it's in permanent ink and it was already written down in eternity. So God's not currently writing down some part of that list. It's already written. And it's like there's a part of that list that there's a way that that list or that scroll is set up that God cannot change his mind. It's predetermined. Can you say amen? I'm not worried about that. That doesn't bother me because it's only predetermined to those who will accept God's predetermined will as grace. So in other words, it's not robotic. It's not like he wrote out some, you know, 00111000110000110. That's grace. There she is. He's over there. She's 00111. And you're just pre-programmed, right? I knew she would appreciate that. It's not like God programmed us, and that's predestination. Oh, I'm just the robot. It isn't that way at all. The predestination is something God wrote because he knew we would love it. And he knew others would hate it. So they're not predestinated for that. They have their own destiny. They would not love living with God forever. But how many here would say, I want to live with God forever? And now you raise your right hand. Now raise your left hand. How many here is not thankful that God predestinated you so that because you're glad you're going to avoid going to hell? I mean, that's not the only reason. But how many here could say, I'm thankful just because I love him so much? Even if he sent me to hell, I'd still love him. That's a hard one for some people to say. They can't get that. But that's what the Bible says. Different places it says it. Talks about it in different places. And you can see even David, he finally wrote, even if I make my bed in hell, you're there. Because how is God going to leave you when he loves you so much? So the book is sealed and names are on the book. And those are names because he loves you so much. Those are names that are technically lost, but also supernaturally redeemable. It just requires a sinless man to take your place, a sinless human who can take your place under God's judgment and pay for the penalty and the debt that laid on the name to clear the name. It's a sealed book. It's sealing in the names of those who are going to be cleared, but it's also sealing in the names of those who are going to be indicted. It's a sealed indictment. Oh, I hope you get this. You don't realize how powerful this is, but it is. Brother Branham said this. Why did God seal it up? He says, if the devil could get a hold of it, he could do great damage. See, if Satan could have figured it out, even what's so amazing about God is he seals something and then he leaks it. Like he leaks it out to John. John gets caught up into the future, sees the vision, and John begins, but the leak is in code. The code is coded in such a way that the most intelligent human being on this earth, over 2,000 years, man has had a chance to try to break the code and they haven't figured it out. Think about how smart God is. And even the devil and his minions have been able to look at it, read it, and try to figure it out and can't figure it out. There's scriptures in the Bible that says even the elect angels, the non-unfallen angels, search into the Word of God and can't figure it out. And then Paul says, but God reveals it to those who love him and that he loves. Wow, isn't that something? See, if Satan could have figured out what was sealed under this sealed indictment, he could have twisted it and made it come out to a different result. He could have applied it to someone else. Isn't that true? I mean, I want you to think about this for just a minute. He could have twisted the outcome. But it was that's why God could not allow it to be fully revealed until the end. In other words, it has to be revealed at the correct time, because the right people have to be in place. The right people who are working in the executive branch, the bride of Jesus Christ, the executive branch, amen, of God's economy, have to be in position first. If they're not the right people, if they are compromised, it'll come out with a different result. People will be exonerated who should not be exonerated. People are going to be let go who should not be let go, because they're compromised. You see what I'm saying? And for all these years, there's been a compromise. There's been a compromise. Luther brought so much correction. He was willing to stand against the Roman Catholic Church, which we know what that was, right? What that was all about. I mean, how can you be part of any church that's had a history of killing over 100 million people who were Christians, by the way, and other people as well? I mean, how can you be a part of that? I don't even know how people can be a part of that. That's called blinding your eyes to history. You don't even want to look. Fox's Book of Martyrs. Now, if you go to your Christian bookstore and get a Fox's Book of Martyrs, it's very, very redacted. Yeah, the original book, if you read the introduction, it completely lays out what the Mother Church has done. And the majority of the book is about what the Catholic Church has done to Christians who are just trying to serve God. But under Luther, they broke out. This Reformation started, but they came out still somewhat compromised. Does everybody understand that? Still sprinkling with water, not baptizing, still doing it in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, rather not name, but titles rather than the name, amen, which we know what that is. Still believing in a Trinitarian concept. They carried some of the stuff with them, no different than the Egyptians or the Israelites who came out of Egypt, but they carried with them a lot of the stuff that was part of Egypt. That's why they built the golden calf and so on. So understand that. But God has a timing, and when the time is right, the right people will be in place. The right people will be in position. They can mete out the indictment without even flinching or batting an eye. Hallelujah! Oh, I hope you're excited about this. Paul says it. He knows it's coming in the future. He says, don't you know that there's a day coming when the saints will judge the whole world? Now, you might say, Brother Elijah, I just want to be a Christian, serve the Lord, go to heaven. This is heavy duty. But I'm sorry, I have to tell you this if that bothers you, but as a father, I've got to be tough on you. I can't just be mamby-pamby. You know, there's a time when you wore diapers. And I wasn't going to do a lot to reprimand you. But you're not supposed to be wearing diapers anymore. You're not supposed to be needing someone to go prepare a bottle for you anymore. You can get your own meals. You can dig into the Word of God and have your own feast. You don't need to, I go to church and I get my meal. No, you come into church so I can tell you where the best food is, where the best grocery store is, where the best storage place is to get food. I'm here to tell you where it's at. My job is not to hand feed you. That's not, you know, there's a time. Some of you need to be hand fed, and that's what I'm doing. But rest of you, you've got to, you know, as they say, put on your big boy pants and go get your own food. It's yours. It's already available, but you've got to dig in and get it. I don't know how many times I run across people who believe this end time message, and I say, do you have the table? You know, it's called the table. It's an app on your phone. And believe me, they know what an app is. They got a big phone, doesn't fit in their back pocket because they're getting bigger. They know, and they got like a million apps on there. Do you have the table on there? Oh, what's that? Are you kidding me? You want to see my phone? It's the first thing. Bible app, table app, it's right there. I mean, that's the first thing. First thing in the morning, I'll hit that Bible app and I'll read a verse. I want to wake up with the word of the Lord coming into my life. I want to hear the word of the Lord. And if somebody calls me in the morning, unless it's family, it's sorry, I'll talk to you later. Leave me a message. I want to hear from the Lord first. And then I'll put on the table app and I'll put it on a message and I'll click the play button and I'll click, you know, I'm not a downloader. I don't want to download the whole thing because then, you know, nowadays you have to have a million gigabyte of memory. But it's streamable. Maybe that's a good idea. Maybe we should get it permanent. But anyway, I just stream it and I listen. I want to hear the voice that God used in this end time to speak to us as a father. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. So it's got to be revealed in the correct time. Now see, there's something very interesting, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but the seven thunders, even though many will connect that to the seven seals and so on, I understand what's going on with that. But well after the seals were revealed, Brother Branham was talking about those seven thunders, and he says that has to be revealed in its correct time. So all of this is a father correcting. God had to correct his children because Eve got in a hurry and took basically a twisted message, right? The serpent had almost the whole message correct, but one little slight difference. And it's amazing how different what that did to the whole world. But anyway, he brought something, but it was a little different. And she thought it was true, and that caused the fall of all of mankind. Do you understand what that means? And the whole reason is, Brother Bram says, she got impatient, and she got ahead of the word. Wow. And Genesis is the beginning chapter of the whole Bible and spells out a sort of an index roadmap of the whole book. Every time Israel got in trouble, God's people got in trouble, it's because they tried to get ahead of God. Brother Branham says, ultimately, she would have brought forth children. She got in a hurry. There was another way she could have had children without all the pain and suffering. Isn't that exciting? Yep. Praise the Lord. She got ahead of God. She got in a hurry. But God knew it was going to happen, and he wasn't caught off guard. It was all part of the plan. So then, a little later on, Israel tells Samuel, their prophet, we want a king. We want a king. Think about it. David wasn't born yet. They got ahead of God. They got ahead of God. And Samuel, like a good father, was laying in the rod down trying to correct them, but they didn't care. So they got ahead of God and they got into trouble. And then we finally come to Jesus and we finally come to the apostles and we finally come to the early church. You know, I'll go back to Israel with wanting a king. Brother Bram says God was going to give them a king before. He God had already planned on giving them a king beforehand, but they got in a hurry. The early church got in a hurry again. See, saints, I hope you understand what's going on here. People get in a hurry. What is communism? Communism is a thought of having everyone live in a utopian scenario where everybody's equal and happy. Well, no man or men or group of people who are corrupt to begin with are going to be able to come together and create a utopia. That's a promise in the Bible. So communism is simply getting ahead of God. And right around our last movement, the Pentecostal movement, which really we know was a move of God, can you say amen? They have this kingdom now teaching, which is we're supposed to set up the kingdom now and then Jesus comes. They've got it all wrong. It's backward, but they're in a hurry. See, here's the beautiful thing about it. A real father doesn't let people get in a hurry. You know, if your kid's 12 and he wants to get a shotgun, I guess you could do it, but don't be in a hurry with that. Take some time with your 12-year-old. Make sure he can be responsible. You know, doesn't matter if your kids are pushing for something, they're always going to be in a hurry because they're immature. And they'll get into trouble every time. But a real father is going to take the time to make sure there's enough maturity developed there to say, all right, you can go get your license now. You're prepared. I've driven with you. Let's go. We'll go to the DMV and we'll get your license and you can start driving your car. Right? Very simple. But we make it, we go, okay, fine. When we get frustrated, we just let them go. And then we get into trouble. Can't do that. Hallelujah. It has to be revealed in its correct time. And when it would be, here's the correct time. When it would be too late for the devil to be able to mess it up. You starting to get the picture now? When it will be too late for Satan and his minions. I like the way God works, don't you? Hallelujah. I like the way he works. Now, the book is sealed. Why is the book sealed? Because, you know, we're sealed in there. But at the same time, did you notice? It's also sealing in the Antichrist. You say, how can that be? But that's what it is. You read what the seals are, and it's talking about a white horse and a red horse and a black horse and a pale horse. That's the Antichrist that infuses himself into the church, into Christendom, and develops his own church within the church. You get it? And it's just simply deceiving the people, as many of God's people as he can. Or at least attempting to, because I don't think he can fully deceive God's people. But there it is. It's a sealed indictment. So it's not going to be revealed in the first age. It's not all the way up to the very, very, this very end time. All the way to 1963, God kept it sealed. But by 1963, God could reveal the seals. Can you say amen? Because at that point, it's too late for the devil. He's in trouble. Praise the Lord. I think that's exciting, don't you? And here's the reason why, because deception cannot take place with the elect. I'll just word it this way. The elect cannot be deceived. You like that better? That's how it's, I'm just quoting now, but the elect cannot be deceived once 1963 rolls around, because the seals, as they open, they reveal each deception plank of the Antichrist and how he worked his way into the church. Trinitarianism, the first one, nails it. That's incorrect. Trinitarian concept is wrong. Satan had to develop that within the church so he could worm his way in, because he knows he wants to be worshipped as three, because he is three persons. Antichrist spirit, false prophet, and the dragon. Those are three persons. All angels, all fallen angels, but all playing a role, manipulating the church. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. False Holy Spirit. Unholy Spirit. So, there you have it. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Amen? So you see, the devil is a father too. He's a father of lies. You are of your father, the devil, Jesus said to the religious, because they had an Antichrist spirit on them. They were anti-Christ. They wanted to stone him, kill him, murder him, crucify him, whatever they could do. Destroy his, assassinate his reputation. All of that is Antichrist. You starting to pay attention? Now, we're not calling people Antichrist. We're saying there's an Antichrist spirit out there. Gets on people. And the day will come, of course, when the dragon, which is Satan, will come down and infuse himself fully into a man. And that man will be the Antichrist, or in other words, what the Bible calls the beast. Do you believe that? Now, Moses delivered an indictment in his day. Did you see what Moses did? He delivered an indictment for his day. And his indictment was both open and sealed. There's a sealed part of it. Because he said, when you get into the promised land, you're going to get fat. You're going to get fed, you're going to get fat, and you're going to forget God. That's a sealed indictment. Did it happen? You better believe it did. It did. So it happened. What about the prophets? All the prophets either had a open indictment or sealed indictment. There are certain things that were said in Isaiah that hasn't even happened yet. What's coming? Jeremiah, same thing. John had indictments he handed out. Jesus. Oh, Capernaum, Capernaum. That's an indictment to the city. Not necessarily just the Christians or the believers in Christ, because he had to deal with them too, but he was dealing with the whole city. He had done enough where the whole city should have repented. At least Jonah had the results.
where the whole city repented. That's pretty rare, but it did. That repentance of that city turned a thus saith the Lord judgment that God had already spelled out to them. People don't understand when thus saith the Lord is said. I know it's funny that the anti, you know, what we believe, people say, oh, if it's thus saith the Lord, it has to happen. Where'd they get that from? They got that from Brother Branham. But Brother Branham also spelled out a couple other things about thus saith the Lord. Sometimes it can be changed because it's conditional. God says, if you don't do this, in fact, if you read Jonah's prophecy, thus saith the Lord, in 40 days, this city is going to be destroyed. They immediately took off all their wealthy garments, stopped eating great food, put on rags, and repented for 40 days. Immediately. There was nothing in Jonah's prophecy that says, if you repent, God will change his mind. He doesn't say that. He just says, thus saith the Lord, you're going to be destroyed in 40 days. And then what does he do? He sits under a tree for 40 days and waits for it to happen. This is going to be great. Lord, I can't wait for this job to be over. I want to go home. I'm so sick of this place. Who wants to go to Nineveh? And he's mad when it doesn't happen. Even Jonah. See, prophets sometimes don't know everything. They think they're thus saith the Lord. It's got to happen. What they don't understand is God is a God of mercy. God is a God of warning and then judgment. There's judgment because they didn't heed the warning. But if they heeded the warning, the judgment goes away. I've got 12 prophecies of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel that didn't happen. Does that mean, oh, we don't need to read the Bible no more? We don't have to believe that. You misinterpret what God said. God said, don't have any idols, don't build any idols, gold, silver, nothing. Don't do that. Don't stick anything in front of you and that you're going to bow down to. Did God say that? Then what did he tell Moses? Build cherubim, stick it on top of the... We're that smart. We really think we're that smart that we think we know God, that we're the experts. Look at the experts sitting around saying, oh, he prophesied, he predicted, he said it didn't happen, so he's false. Really? What makes you an expert? If you're going to judge him, then you got to judge the rest. Are you going to judge Jesus? Not one stone will be left atop of the other. He was predicting, prophesying 70 AD. Didn't he say, did Jesus say not one stone will be left on another? In the city of Jerusalem, he said, not just the temple. He said the city of Jerusalem, not one stone left on another. Is the Wailing Wall still there? Guess we don't need to listen to Jesus no more. Saints, you better pay attention to how God works, because we aren't that smart to sit around as judges. But yet, if you stay faithful to the word of thus saith the Lord that's handed out to us in the Bible in this end time truth, let me tell you something. God is positioning you in a position of judgment. You will be the one who will be meeting out the judgment. How, Brother Elijah? By the way you live, imitating God's servants, imitating God, demonstrating himself by the Holy Spirit and power. Listen, saints, how is it going to be done? Because you're not relying just on word. You're relying on the power of the kingdom. Not just the word of the kingdom, the power of the kingdom. See, so God has to do it in a proper time. There were sealed indictments that were meant for today that are not spelled out in the Bible, either using figurative language or using a way that somebody demonstrates his life. Look at Joseph. Joseph was hidden. He was sealed from his brothers. They didn't know it was Joseph. They thought it was Pharaoh's right-hand man, the next Pharaoh. They were freaking out, you know? And he played with that. He played with that. But when the time was right, he revealed himself. When they were ready. Benjamin wasn't there yet. You starting to see the picture? God couldn't reveal any of these things in the seven seals because you hadn't come to earth yet. Saints, this isn't about you saying, I want to be a great person in God's economy. I'm going to make a big impact in this world. I think you should have some kind of a motivation for that, but that's not the reason. The reason is God determined it so. The only thing we can do is humble ourselves and say, I am a man of unclean lips. I am a woman of unclean lips. And let God, by his grace, put a coal on your lips and say the uncleanness of your lips and of the nation has been taken away. Isn't that amazing how he says, you know, I am a man of unclean lips and I live in among a people of unclean lips. And he only puts it on Isaiah's lips. And then he says, I have removed the uncleanness. Not just Isaiah, but from the whole nation. All who believe what the Apostle Paul preached are going to receive the same reward of the Apostle Paul. All who believes the messenger of your hour gets the same reward. Because God takes it away from one, he takes away from all. If God can speak through one and stop a storm, God can speak through any one of you and stop a storm. If God can speak through one and cause cancer to disappear instantaneously, God can speak through every one of you and cause any disease to disappear. That's not your decision. That wasn't Brother Branham's decision. God chose it.
Yes.
Nobody knew that was coming. Nobody even could have predicted that. God chose it. God determined it. So let's be like Isaiah. Who shall we send? Lord, send me. If you're so good that you can just, in a moment, take away the unrighteousness. If you're so good, Lord, just send me. Send me, Lord. I'll do anything. I'll serve you. Where's that attitude? I'm looking for that attitude among God's people. Let me do it, Lord. Let me manifest the third pole. I'll do it.
Hallelujah.
Why? Do you want to be a big shot? No, it's nothing to do with that. In fact, I'm afraid of the whole thing. It freaks me out. But you need someone, and you did this for me. I'm here to serve you, Lord. Just put me in, Lord. Let me go. Let me do this. I'll do it. God says, you will go. You go. For all those anointed with the Antichrist spirit, whether politicians, and there's a lot of them. Preachers, there's a lot of them. So-called believers, too many to number. For all of those, here's the thought today. Where are the real fathers of the faith? Where are real men and women of God who stand for something? If you stand for something, you won't fall for everything. But look how many people fall for everything. Where are our godly leaders in this Christian country we live in that we call America? What happened to the godly leaders this country once had? They believed the Bible. They built it on the Bible, on the Word of God. And they administered their offices under the direction of the Spirit of God or under the Word of God. All the courtrooms in America have Moses' law written on their walls. Where are these people? Where are these leaders? Where are the fathers in the church? People call this guy Pope. Papa in Italian means father. Doesn't matter that Jesus said, call no man on earth father. What do they do with that? Well, we don't go by what Jesus says. We go by what Peter did, because Peter's our rock. We built our church on him. Really? Peter said, baptize in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we go with what Jesus said. That's pretty flimsy and fake. Just whatever's convenient for your doctrine to twist the people around. Jesus said, call no man father. And they make it as part of their whole religion, Papa. And all the denominations are going right straight back to Papa. The wrong Papa. Where's our godly leaders today? Here's a message in 1965 called Birth Pains. Notice, my brethren, she's totally rotten. Her politics and systems is just as rotten as they can be. There isn't a sound bone in her world systems, her politics and her religious politics and whatever it is. One says, I'm a Democrat. I'm a Republican. I'm a Methodist. I'm a Baptist. Don't you like the way that all comes together? He quotes that out. Wow. Oof. He says, why? The whole thing is rotten to the core. There's got to be something give away. She can't stand. In other words, he's saying there's something's gonna, like a house of cards. You pull that one out, it's all going. She can't stand. He's talking about America, saints. Christian country. She can't stand. If you put a George Washington or an Abraham Lincoln in every county in this United States, it still couldn't come back. It's beyond redemption. That's strong words. Jesus had strong words for Jerusalem, and it happened. Strong words for Capernaum, and it happened. California, L.A., will go under the ocean. Strong words, it will happen. This country is going to be in big trouble. Now, oh, Lord, God help us. Here's another one, 1964, going beyond the camp. And I think this is really interesting because, and I'm also very thankful that we have a Lincoln right in our church. I mean, at least we got something right. Lincoln Caleb, I like that, don't you? He says, you notice our politicians today won't say nothing about reading the Bible in school. They're afraid. See, this is what was back then. Now it's completely gone. Now you can pick up a Quran. Yep, I remember I was in my library when I was in high school. That was a long time ago, saints. I know I look young, but that's like ancient history. And I was trying to find a Bible, and I went to the lady there, the librarian. I said, where's the Bible? She goes, oh, we're not allowed to have Bibles. She goes, but if you go to the religious section, you'll see a Quran. And I was like, why do you allow a Quran if you don't allow the Bible? And I asked her that. I held it. I said, why are you allowing this book but not the Bible? She goes, oh, that's a cultural book, not a religious book. I'm like, okay. You know, semantics. Use words to change everything's meaning. Change all the meanings of words, and you can make anything stand, or you can present anything. He says here, they don't allow reading the Bible in school. Now, here's what I did when I was in high school. I brought my Bible with me. Now, what I did is I just put a cover on it because all my books had covers, so I just put a cover on it. I didn't like doing that, but don't forget, you and I are the Bible with a cover on it. Amen? So just doesn't really matter. But anyway, nobody was going to bug me because I had my Bible, and I'm going to read it. He said, why are they doing that? They're afraid. In other words, they really do believe it should be allowed, but they're afraid. What's this pressure coming down? They don't know which way the wind is blowing. They don't know whether they'll lose the vote or not. We need another Abraham Lincoln. We need another John Quincy Adams. We need somebody who will stand up regardless of which way the wind is blowing and give their honest convictions. Are we learning something? I say that right within this message. Amen. Preachers, ministers who will preach their conviction rather than what all the other preachers are preaching. Right. I don't want to lose my favor with the other guys. Amen. Who cares? Yes, even if they build a Sanhedrin, I don't care. I don't have to be submissive to the Sanhedrin of the message because I have a Sanhedrin called the headquarters of God, the Holy Spirit. And from the throne of God, this is what Brother Branham said. He went to church after church after church and didn't go to any of them because he said the problem is they all had headquarters that told them what they can preach. And he says what we need to have is sovereign churches where that sovereign pastor hears directly from God in heaven. That's not happening anymore. We're all hearing a bunch of rehashed messages. God forgive us. He goes on to say this. This is, again, 64, going beyond the camp. He says, today, a denominational preacher, though you show him the word, the truth, he don't know what to do. He's afraid he'll lose his meal ticket. We need men and women today that's burly with the gospel. You hearing that? Burly just means, tough, like burly, muscly, with the gospel. Somebody did something wrong there. Hold on a second. Hallelujah. Burly with the gospel. Somebody that'll stand and tell their conviction. Point out what's right, what's wrong. Whether the word of God is right or whether the denomination is right. It's really your choice. Whether you want to be puffed up and receive the rod of correction or the word of God is correct. Humble yourself under God's word and you'll receive a gentleness of the Holy Spirit coming into your life. Amen? I just thought that's powerful. I'm going to read one more, and I'm going to bring up this juxtaposition of his two thoughts. 1965, and knoweth it not. I meant to go back. Birth pains, pretty close. It's after. So one is before, one is after. Oh, God, he said, that's like the pulpit where a man, that's man, that stands for a principle? Where is women that stands for a principle? Where is a church that stands for a principle? I ain't got a nickel's worth of time for a wishy-washy, give-in, compromising spirit. A woman is a woman. Let her be a lady. If a man is a man, let him be a man. If he's a president, where is our John Quincy Adamses? Where is our Abraham Lincolns? Men of principle, where is our Patrick Henry that said, give me liberty or give me death? Now this stuff, if you go listen to the way he delivers that, it puts a fire in your bones. It's like, man, that's me. If you really read history, you're like, that's me. This is what you're here for, saints. Not to just skim by and hopefully nobody bothers you. Stand for something. Stand for the truth. Corruption is at its highest levels in our government. Isn't that true? Do you believe that? So here's the juxtaposition. So here on one hand, he says, doesn't matter if you put an Abraham Lincoln or George Washington in every single county in this nation, it's still lost. And then he turns around and says, where is our Abraham Lincolns? You see, even though Brother Branham could speak prophetically that it's doomed, at the same time, he was still a human being, American, who loved this country and just desired to see it. You can't help it, saints. How many of you can say, I can't help it. I love my country. I love what this country is. I love what it could be. And I still want to see something good come out of it somehow. And I heard somebody say that that the natural disasters and destructions that happen all over the world, where these nations are in need of help, 90% of the help comes from America. Not Canada, not Europe, not another country, America. 90%. And another person said that 90% of that help comes from the church. Not from a Muslim organization, not from a gay organization, not from the Roman Catholic Church, they do it for show. But real, true Christians who love God's word, love God, evangelical, believe in the Bible, they're out there running out trying to help people. Somebody said if they hadn't been there for Haiti, Haiti would be completely gone right now. Right now, that's what's part of what's going on in Puerto Rico, is a lot of the church is just doing it because the politicians are doing nothing. But I just want you to just hear that. Hear that two sides. One side, you would think, oh, he said America's doomed, just forget about it. We're just coasting until God comes. That may not be the right attitude. Because he turns around and says, oh, I wish to see an Abraham Lincoln or a... He still had a love for his country. And because this country is so giving and has done so much under Christian principles, even though the media keeps on throwing all the trash at us so that we'll believe the whole world, the whole United States has gone corrupt, it really hasn't. Except for the last, 9 years, 8 years, whatever, it's been very anti-Israel. But generally speaking, America has blessed Israel. Remember God's word. Whoever blesses Israel will be blessed. Whoever curses Israel will be cursed. And America has blessed Israel. And so God has, I guess the only way to word it is, granted a bit of grace upon this country to extend time, to allow us time, I believe, ultimately, for us to be allowed time to get the last seed in. We got to get a job done. Because it's going to go back the other way again real quick, just like a trap. It's going to swing open and slap. So be aware of what's going on. And then he goes on to say this. And how many understands the media is corrupt? The church world is corrupt? There's such weird corruption. There's a building, I believe it's in the Vatican, that you walk in and it's a serpent's head. And the whole ceiling looks like serpent skin, snake skin. And from where the leaders are speaking to the audience, it looks like a serpent head on the other side. Serpent heads on both sides. Bite you coming and going. It's a weird building. You can look at it. Very strange. But how many understand? That's where it all started. You know, it's just, they're so bold now, they don't even care. Just telling you, just spelling it out, and everybody's so deceived, they don't even care. But he says here about the picture of the fire, that picture that was taken of the pillar of fire over his head, right? He said that ought to have shook the whole world. But not even a newspaper picked it up. Why? Look at these great things that's took place, the simplicity of God through these healings and miracles. Why did it happen? How did it come to pass? Why can't people see that? The media will have nothing to do with it. As soon as a preacher makes a mistake or falls or does something bad, then that makes the media. But all the good anybody does is not going to ever be in there, because it's run by, anointed by Satan. Do you believe that? He goes, I go to a meeting to my American people and speak to them and take the theologians and take them back to their back office and lay the Bible down and take it out there. And I say, here, look here, see if that isn't exactly what he promised. Then the Lord Jesus comes right around and confirms that. And people say, yep, for you, that's about it. They have eyes and can't see, ears and can't hear. It's an indictment. Oh, Lord. I've wrapped this up. 1962, he says this. If we love the Lord and serve the Lord and voted the right kind of government and everything else, it'd be a wonderful place, America. That's right. We'd have no wars. No. He says, God is our refuge and strength. The way of a true prophet. It's like, but to a certain point, we just don't want to be involved. But saints, you're involved. This is your country. All spiritual wickedness, demonic powers in leadership, devils in leadership, are under your jurisdiction. This is your jurisdiction. Believe me when I tell you, there's this pretty strong, powerful devil that runs this country. But God is not immune from slipping in under that devil's jurisdiction and shaking his kingdom. Just shake it up. You know why he's doing that? You know what's going on in America? You know, you probably don't even realize it, but we're on the verge of a civil war again. We are. If you study the American Civil War, the media went crazy and created, stirred up all kinds of craziness, and that caused the war to happen. They're doing it again. We have 5 months. There's something called the November elections coming up. I'm going to drive you to your knees. You better start praying, saints. Because if the Democrats sweep it, it's done. Trump's hands will be tied. He can't do anything else. He can't do anything else. When he flew out of the G7, was flying in his big jet, went over Alaska, and there was a nuclear sub that was hacked, and they fired a missile but it was knocked down. Fired another missile, that was knocked down. That's pretty wild assassination attempts to blame it on China and then cause the whole thing to blow up. This stuff's going on in this country and we're clueless. We don't even have an idea the craziness that goes on in this country. But it's got to happen. Why do you think JFK was assassinated? He was spilling the beans. He had that speech. Go listen to his speech. About why should a foreign entity be somewhere ruling over America? They're in some other country. He was speaking against, you know, the crazies that try to run America. They're still doing it. He was assassinated. And then who else was it? Reagan. Look at his speech. Same speech. There should not be a small handful of people who can tell us what to do, and we have to jump at their command. I mean, look at Reagan, and then he's attempted to assassinate him. I don't know if you get it, but there's a kingdom of darkness and a kingdom of light. And if God wants to use Trump, let him use Trump. We can't say nothing great about the guy, but we can't say nothing bad about the anointing. Nobody liked Saul, but David learned don't say anything bad or don't do anything bad against Saul because he's God's anointed. Don't touch my anointed or do my prophets no harm. It's a rule of God. Leave it alone. They can't touch him. And And the IG report is, of course, the crazy redacted. Anybody know anything about an IG report? It's okay. You just say, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, that's fine. It's just a 500-page report that the Inspector General delivered to be that you can go look at now for the American people and everybody else. And it's heavily redacted. They removed a bunch of buttons. But watch, there's going to be two more reports that probably come out, or one more that comes out right behind it. That's the fully unveiled report. When it does, sealed indictments are going to start happening. People are going to jail. And it's already sad what's gone on with this country, if you think about it. The FBI at the top echelons, totally, totally corrupt. Listen to what the prophet of God said. They're corrupt at the top. They're corrupt at the top. But the head of the serpent is being crushed right now. So what does happen when you step on a snake's head? What happens? Does the snake lay there and say, oh, that feels good? He starts whipping, and you see this craziness going on, whipping and slashing. But don't worry, that whipping of the body isn't going to do anything. You've got the head under the heel. The head under the heel. The heel will be a little bit lacerated, but don't worry about it. Look at the way God spells that out. He shall crush his head, and the serpent's seed will crush his heel. If you have your heel crushed, that's not permanent. But if you have a head crushed, that's kind of permanent. Don't you think so? Oh, God is good, isn't he? Okay, we have to wrap this up. Praise the Lord. It's Father's Day. I got to let you go. You got steaks in the oven. You got roasts going. Hallelujah. How many wants to come to my house? We're going to have snake on the Barbie. Yeah, that's going to be good. I'm going to have to go find some snake somewhere. We'll go cook it up. I don't think I could eat that, honestly. I still remember Brother John Cutts talking about that time he caught an eel in the ocean, and he caught it, he chopped the head off, and he gutted it, and he put little slices in it, and took the skin off, and he laid it on to the coals or whatever he had there. He said the grill, he laid it on there right, just nice and round, and he says, next thing you know, it's straightened out, started going all over the place. He says, I couldn't eat that. It was the funniest thing to watch Brother John Cutts tell that story. I couldn't eat that. I wasn't even going to touch that thing. Isn't that amazing? Even when the devil is roasting, he's still fighting. Saints, you're on the winning team here. You get the picture? You're winning. We've got this thing. There's no greater government than the government of the Lord Jesus Christ and his bride on this earth. He is ruling and reigning within her. That's what's happening right now. Now he says, if we love the Lord and serve the Lord and we voted the right kind of government and everything else, it'd be a wonderful place. 1962, he said, that's right. We'd have no wars. We'd have peace. And now, he says, Paris comes here to take them from us. In other words, he said, originally Paris used to give all the fashions of the world out to the world. And now, he says, Paris comes to America to get fashions. He says, I preached here some time ago the invasion of the United States. Watch what he's saying here. This is no joke. The overthrow of the American government. Do you think he was kind of a dumb jarhead prophet? This guy was like the prophet Elisha that the king was told. The king says, how can we keep being defeated whenever I attack Israel? This is the king of Syria, I believe. And the prophet and the man, the servant of the king, says it's because they have a prophet over there and he knows everything you say, even in your bedroom. See, a prophet is a man who not only can tell you what's coming, but he can tell you what's going on right now. He can tell you what you're thinking, what you're saying. That's a real prophet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope you understand that, saints. Deuteronomy 18, test of a true prophet. Go read it. It says both. He'll be someone who will tell you what is going to happen. And then God says, if what he says is happening is not true, and what he says will happen doesn't come to pass, then he's not sent from me. If a man can stand there and tell you what is happening in your life, in your heart, if he doesn't know you, and he can do that, that's what Deuteronomy 18 actually says in the Hebrew. If what he says isn't, and if what he says will be doesn't happen, then call him a false prophet. But at any rate, here's the last thing I want to say. The overthrow of the American government, you ought to heard it. 1962. Of course, he could say this because, you know, of course, the Catholic Church started coming into the United States government. And then it got polluted from there, terribly polluted. But Brother Branham said 1977. You know what? I believe that America was under an indictment, and that 1977 would have been the year that this country would have gone up in smoke. Yep, I do believe that. However, even if God says, thus saith the Lord, Nineveh, you're going to be destroyed in 40 days or however many years, doesn't matter. If the people sufficiently repent enough, if they accept that message enough, and that's what happened, enough people from 63, because remember, his popularity dwindled and he started preaching little groups. You know, he went off the scene just preaching in leadership. What was it, like 12 people sitting in a room? Here's a man who preached 30,000, 40,000, 100,000, 200,000, preaching to 12 people, 13 people. Look at Jesus' ministry. Multitudes, multitudes, multitudes around Jesus, multitudes. How many people showed up at the day of Pentecost? 120. What does that tell you? His popularity dwindled. Sign of a true prophet. They end. Look at all the prophets. Sawn asunder. Rejected. Originally, everyone loved him. Then they hated him. Maybe that'll happen here. Maybe you'll love me and then you'll hate me. But 1977 would, to me, have been the year had not sufficiently the people of God come to the truth and repented. And they did. That's what started happening. And then it began to stop looking at Brother Branham as a man and started looking at what he brought. That's when it happened. Right around that time, 76, you know, was that the bicentennial? That's when it started happening. 77, God says, okay, I will just think. Thus saith the Lord, the prophet said to the king, get your house together, get ready, you're going to die. He repents. Prophet comes back. Thus saith the Lord, you're going to live. Was he false? And God gave him time. 77 would have been it for this country, for the world. But enough people repented and received God's word. Because how many here would have missed the rapture if it happened in 77? Raise your hand. Is that about everybody? Oh, Brother Tom, you would have made it? That's good. Well, I know. But as a believer, sometimes we were here and we were steeped in sin. But thank God, hallelujah, that God gave us more time. Now, I don't know how much time. Let's look at 40 years. What does 40 years give us? 77 to 2017. I think you all should do this. Whew. We want the rapture to happen, but at the same time, we've got children. Loved ones. But God is saying, I'm going to give you another chance because that whole system that wormed its way into our country and into all the countries that was set up for 2020, 2021, 2022, that's what's set up. But right now their plans have been derailed because God, when he wants to shake things up and derail it, he can do it and nobody can stop him. He doesn't care. It's been derailed, saints. I know you don't think it's bad, but it's bad. It's corrupt. It's really rough. What the prophet of God is saying here, it's the truth. You don't think America's been invaded? It's been invaded. It's a different kind of invasion. It's a spiritual invasion. And it's gotten into people, and they're running. They run this country. But there's 35,000 sealed indictments. Let's see what happens. Maybe nothing. But I think it's our time to get on our knees and start praying. Maybe you don't think anything of it, and I don't think anything of it because I'm nobody. But in May of 2016, I said, I believe Trump will win. And part of my belief was just, I don't want to see the other person win. But I didn't necessarily feel like it was the best of two evils. I just felt like God has some strange plan going on here because he knocked over 16 qualified Republicans like a domino. They all fell. Something's going on here, saints. And if we sit around and go, oh, hallelujah, we got a Republican, you better stop that. I am neither a Republican or a Democrat. I'm a Christian. I voted for Jesus Christ, and I'm guaranteed to win. But let's be on our knees praying. I'm trying to speak to you like a father. This impacts you. This is going to impact you more than you know. If November in 5 months is a sweep of Democrats, then this thing will be stymied. It'll be a stalemate. If Republicans sweep in, and this is the reason why the Democrats are pushing, because they don't want the indictments. They can stop it. But see, God's got it timed so perfectly that they're not going to be able to. You see what's happening, right? I mean, who here in their right mind knows that Hillary Clinton did something illegal? I mean, do you really think it was a boo-boo? She made a boo-boo. She made a bad decision, bad judgment. It was illegal. What you probably don't know is Obama was doing a lot of illegal stuff too. Now it's all coming out, but he's out of office, so he doesn't really care. But however, he's going to have I believe he has an orange jacket waiting for him too. And this isn't just conspiracy. This is, I don't trust the devil. He's not stupid. He knows what he's doing. But your heavenly Father cares about you. He's trying to get this to you. He's not just doing this for America. Oh, America's been so good to the Jews. Let's be nice to America. Listen, saints, it's going to swing the other way. If Trump gets another 4 years, believe me, this country's going to get better and better under him. It will. And if you don't think it's good now, the only thing that people are worried about now is because the media, somehow you're listening to that stuff. They're spewing out so much garbage, it's not even funny. I don't listen to it. It's not even real. My investments just went up 30% in a year and a half. That doesn't happen. That hasn't happened. Not that I'm counting on that, because I got another investment that's going up 1,000,000% every second. But you get my point. I'm making a point that I want you to catch. I want you to get this. You need to pray about it. Pray for me. Maybe I'm way off. But there'll be at least the 13 top people who are still doing things, still running some kind of government, behind the government, trying to impeach Trump with everything in their power. They want to get rid of the guy. They've got to, because they've spent years building this up. And now the target date is falling off. It's a fact. But I still believe they're going to get the results they're looking for. It's just going to be later. It will happen. The Antichrist will ride. America will do what it's going to do. We know it's going to happen. The dollar's going to crash. Everything's going to happen. I believe that, because the prophet said it. But if God wants to give us reprieve, we better say, okay, Lord, then send me. What are you wanting to do here? We better just start listening to the Lord and say, you're my Father, Lord. You tell me where to go, what to do. Teach me how to pray. What am I supposed to pray for? Yes, amen. The Bible already tells you to pray for your leader. So I want you to do this. When Obama was in, I prayed that he'd get saved. Yep. I want Trump to get saved too. But man, I'm praying, God, just use him the way, let your plan unfold. Do what you want to do. You're making a fool out of all these other people, but you're making a fool out of the devil. You've done that before. You made a show openly of demons when you died on the cross. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? He makes a show of them. So listen, saints, that's not what we're praying for. What we're praying for is, Lord, what do you want me to do? If we have the rest of 4 years or potentially another 4 years. Yeah. 2017, there were a little over 800 registered women running for office in the Democratic Party. Now there's well over 30-something thousand. We will have a woman president. I believe that. And that marks the end. Remember Brother Branham's vision. 1933, he saw seven things. Five are done. Six. Six is a woman president. Seven, America's blown to pieces. And he even said, it'll be that woman president. She'll be beautiful to look at. And he said, that woman president, totally anointed by the Catholic Church. We know what's going on, right, saints? That woman president will cause America to be blown up, because that's what they've been trying to do all along. They've been picking a war with Russia, picking a war with North Korea, trying to blow up America. They want to blow up America. I mean, you don't see this stuff. Sometimes you got to just look. You know, there's these things out there written, published, that's set up to depopulate the world. You got to understand, these higher ranking people are wealthy, wealthy, wealthy. They have time to sit around and notice what's going on. The population of the world is going like this. It can't be sustained. Not enough food. So their goal is to get it down to a million. I mean, something like some stupid number, a billion, I think it is. So the only way to do that is to have World War III. And how many already knows the Bible said we're going to have a World War III? So say everything they're planning, it's going to happen. My heart says, Brother M says, seven visions will take place before the Jesus comes. My heart tells me that if America sustains those kinds of explosions, probably nuclear or dirty bombs or whatever, and especially a city like LA is not going to not be blown up, that's going to cause an earthquake. And that's going to cause a greater destruction than ever. But instead of sitting here shaking in our boots, remember, God is going to speak again from heaven, right, not just earth. He's going to shake heaven and earth. He's doing it right now. Yes, this is the shaking time. Amen. You're not supposed to be shaken. Everything that can be shaken off will be. Everything that will stay will remain in the kingdom of God. So you stay remaining. But here's what I'm trying to share with you so you get this. Don't be afraid. You don't have to worry about anything, because when all that starts happening, resurrection's happening. That's when he comes. Final vision, he comes. We're going to get out of here. Praise the Lord. So how many here is thankful we're going to get out of here?
Hallelujah.
We have some time. Maybe God is giving us a jubilee.
Yes.
Brother Branham said 1977 is a jubilee. But when you do the math on it, it doesn't come out. He says 70 jubilees. It's 69. Every time you look at it, it's 69. Do you ever think of that? 1977. You count jubilees from the Exodus, it's 69 jubilees. The 70th jubilee is 2027. Right? 9 years. Who knows? Could be wrong. Might not be true. But if he has another term, then we're running all the way to 2020, 2024. Then we get another person in. If we see some beautiful woman come in real powerful, yeah, rejoice. Look up. Your redemption really is near. Look up. This is it. Don't be afraid. Be excited. We're in something good. But in the meantime, we know we have some time, because this whole Trump thing is a total, got to be a miracle from God, because it makes no sense. And the fact that he's draining the swamp and fighting the corruption that we just heard about, the prophet talking about, he's draining those people and he's trying to put people in place. And he's doing it perfectly timed. I know you guys aren't paying attention, but Hoover, okay, right. So the corrupt guys that were in the Department of Justice have resigned. Look at the people resigning. They're in the swamp. They're like, I'm a frog, and I'm getting out of this swamp because I am bad, and I don't want it to come down on me. Doesn't mean it won't. It still will. But watch people resigning. Doesn't matter. Democrats, Republicans, they're jumping out. The heat. Crank up the heat on it. Some get smart enough to jump out, but they're still going to get nailed. But here's the thing, saints, it's coming. It's going to happen. And it's God doing it. And if God is draining the swamp in politics, I tell you what, he's draining the swamp in the church. Look at the cardinals, rash numbers of bishops, priests, leaving their positions wholesale because it's, they've been involved in trafficking children. You don't think so? You don't think that's happening? It's happening. I got friends that are trying to stop that, but they realize they're fighting a big thing out there. Children have for years been trafficked. They're being stolen from American households from all over the world, and they're being shipped to certain places, islands and different places where politicians can go and do whatever they want with these children. Why do you think we watch our kids like hawks as parents? We can't help it. We're a dad. We're a father. We can't be just not paying attention, because stuff happens. It's going on in this country because the devil's wicked. He tries to put that on us. He tries to put it on God's people. He's trying to put it on everyone. That's why I'm telling you, watch your devices. This is a portal. And you're dialing in the portal where you want to go. and you're traveling, I got to go. I got to stop. I know this is a tough message, saints, but man, I got to be a father to you. You've got to pay attention. Don't just put blinders on and say, I just want to go, Lord, I got to go into rapture. Got to go into rapture. That's selfish. Be like reaching into the fire. Get out. Come on. Let's go. Let's go. We got to go. Because we have, God is like, you know, the Holy Spirit is like Atlas. He's just holding up the judgment. The Holy Spirit is like holding up the judgment. Come on, saints, you can do it. You can do it. I can only hold it so much longer. Then it's going to come down. It's going to crash. The Bible says it'll be like a trap. It's going to trap them all. Saints, I want to start here because judgment has to begin to the household of God. We've been in this message long enough. We all need to repent before God and get the feeling of the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you something today as we close. The Holy Spirit, Christ in spirit form, he hurts when people turn him down. His heart breaks when people don't accept him. He's not trying to force anything because right now it's grace, grace, grace. Just think of that. Don't think of anybody else. Think of yourself. How many times have you just said, Lord, later, I'll pray more later, Lord. How many here has been putting stuff off? Lord, I know I need to develop a better relationship with you. It hurts him. You're hurting him. And all he ever did was suffer for you. Why would you and I make him suffer anymore? Please, saints, I'm telling you, we got to get before God. We need to get our instructions, and we need to get what God is leading us as a daddy, as our papa God, telling us what to do next. We've got to get that from him. I don't even know. I know what's coming. I have a pretty good idea, and you ought to be wise enough to know. When Rome surrounded Jerusalem in 70 AD, and they put a 3-4 year siege to the point where they had no food, to the point where the parents started eating their children. Now, honestly, I'd rather die than eat my children. That's just something's messed up there. But that's what happened. This is Josephus writing in history. What happened? And the Jews were baffled that there was not one single Christian in Jerusalem when that happened. You know why? Because Jesus says, when you see the Roman armies coming, get out of here. Don't say you haven't been warned. And if you're in a message cult, which you could be, you're not. I know you're not, but people are. I'm just saying, be careful of your mindset. Like, oh, I'm in the message. Be careful. When you think you stand, you fall. Don't do that. You're in a family. You're in God's family. He chooses whoever he wants to be in this family. That's not up to you. That's not your decision, not my decision. We better get way more serious about what our job is here. Get in and bring others with you. Can I make it any simpler? Get in. If you're not fully in, get fully in. Bring others with you. Satan's going to get you, keep you real busy. He's keeping you all busy. We're all being busy. Busy, busy, busy. No time to reach out to the lost children of God that are just waiting for someone who has the truth to lead them to Christ. Father God, as we bow our heads and musicians come, Lord, we just thank you for this hour we live in. Lord, it is a dark, wicked age, but at the same time, it's a golden age. It's gross darkness over the people, but light shining upon your bride. We are in Goshen, Lord. We are in the promised land. We are in your Shekinah glory, in the Holy of Holies. We're in the best place, Lord, even though around is a horrible world we live in. But Father, at the same time, your seed are out there. There's still some out there. We need to get them. You're giving us another few years. I honestly, Lord, I always struggled seeing past 2020. And I know it sounds funny, 2020 vision. We think of that. But Lord, if you determined that you want to give us a little extra time, one last dispensation of grace. Oh God, don't let us squander it. Don't let us waste it, oh God. Don't let us just throw it off. Lord, let us talk to everybody with boldness. Do you know Christ? Are you saved? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? We got to tell them, Lord. We got to bring them in. We hold the tickets to the train ride. We hold the tickets to the mothership. We got to hand those tickets out as fast as we can. Help us do it, Lord, as we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Feel the pull. How many feels the pull of the Holy Spirit? I hear the call. And I know His Spirit's moving me to give my all. Come on, where are the fathers? Where are the Christians? Where are the believers? Speaks to me. In my heart I agree. Come and take control. I feel the pull. Let's all stand. I feel the pull. And I hear Brother Daniel Fish. How many hears him calling you? You hear somebody calling you. You need to respond. Spirit's moving me to give my all.
He speaks to me, and I agree. Please come and take control. I feel the pull. Oh Lord, please come and take control. Feel the pull. Yes, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for the words today, Lord Jesus. Oh God, it's true, all of it. Oh God, we know we're close. Help us, Lord, to press in, Lord, deeper. We can't become deep enough, Lord God. We need to be deep as possible, Lord Jesus, in your word. Help us, Lord Jesus. How we love you, Lord God. Praise your name. Hallelujah.
Oh, my hope is in the Lord. From this time on, and evermore, oh, my hope is in the Lord forevermore. I stand in awe within the presence of the Lord, in whom the wisdom of the ages lie, for whom the raging of the sea subsides, the living sacrifice, the only source of life, my hope is in the Lord from this time on and evermore. Oh, my hope is in the Lord forevermore. His tender mercy come with every rising sun to meet the sinner in his brokenness, to offer healing and forgiveness. And those who trust in him will find their hearts at rest. Oh, my hope is in the Lord from this time on and evermore. Oh, my hope is in the Lord forever. evermore. Almighty God, creator of heavens and earth, the author of eternal life in me, the giver of every good and perfect gift. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the source of life. Oh, my hope is in the Lord. From this time on and evermore, oh, my hope is in the Lord forevermore, forevermore. Praise his name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's sing this song as you can all be dismissed. The greater is he that is in me. Oh, greater is he that is in me. Oh, greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.